96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
La la la, la 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, bigger Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break till it grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, bigger Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke. Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Baton, I say up and running. Caliban say my show, boy, don't ever give in. 7 years of farming, watch the crops them coming. True, they see a humble thing, the lion sleeping. But they ain't for no reason. Only God that I believe in, living. Watch them only passion for a season. Cutlass, I gon' weed them. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, bigger Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely fine. Smoke Baton, bro.
Boy, I from good night, Bahamas. And welcome again to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I'm host of the talk show Inside the Inner City that premieres every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. I accept all of this. Telephone numbers tonight are 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259, and you can text us, powered by BTC, at 422-GR96, and you can listen in Cable Bahamas on the 969 Cable Bahamas. And today we're going to have a topic. We're going to be talking about how the police serves its purpose in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. We want to highlight some of the good stuff that they do to protect us in the country. And then we want to talk about some improvements that can be made based on cases pending against civilians and how we can improve the relationship between the police and the community at large. And then we're going to talk about one of the latest murders that happened recently in the community of Grunstein, Comfort Street, which is the community that I reside in. Three of the young men in the past 3 months. And as a result of that, you know, there have been other shootings before that can be connected. Some is not connected. It's just that the country right now is in you could call it a conflict zone, where the younger generation of young men and females, they seem not to be able to reason. And we want to talk about that, and I want to just highlight some points about the families and how they are feeling, you know, as females, you know, and how it is affecting the community at large and the Bahamas at large. And that's to give a complete understanding of what's going on in our country. And if we don't try to be able to dialogue and focus our attention on where we need to put our attention, we're going to keep on having these incidents in our country. And Inside the Inner City, as part of the curricula And Guardian Radio asked him to tell about the stories about the people in the inner city communities and finding solutions to these problems. It would be not only my pleasure to talk about the problems that we face and find solution, also being considerate that loved ones are being lost. So I have to have a dialogue where I'm non-biased. You know, I'm not a biased person, where I also be able to console the families, you know, because, you know, a loss of life is a loss of life. And the love and the pain, you know, that the families, you know, are going through, you know, all around Nassau, New Providence, it's excruciating. You cannot explain it. So I just want to have that dialogue to the families and then, you know, explain some things, what is going on, and see how we could come to a conclusion on the way forward. I also want to give an update on the progress of the community recently. Just recently, the community of Grunston was able to host the Royal British Navy as part of a giving back hurricane preparedness. You know, they were here 4 years ago around Hurricane Dorian, and they came to the Bahamas, and they were the first responders, you know, and their job was to assist any way possible. And on that journey to the Bahamas, they were able to bring water, set up tents, you know, emergency personnel, doctors, nurses, setting up stations. Tremendous work by the British Royal Navy 4 years ago, you know, as part of being an independent, so-called independent, what we're going to say, so-called independent country. We are still part of the British monarchy. And as part of it, their job is still to assist us no matter what when it comes to humanitarian aid. And we would like to give our thanks to the British government and especially to the British Navy. So I just want to read a little paragraph of what happened in Grunston and the partnership between Lenahan, Bahamas, the Rotary Club of East Nassau, and many other KK Tong, of Central Food Fair. And also Bishop Lloyd, who was in attendance. So let me just read y'all. It was HMS Dauntless lands in Nassau 4 years after Hurricane Dorian. Royal Navy's hurricane response ship helps communities prepare for hurricane season. Since the Bahamas was devastated by Hurricane Dorian, HMS Dauntless, a Royal Navy warship, docked in the brand new Nassau cruise port last Friday, an impressive physical display of the UK's commitment to ongoing partnership with the Bahamas, making a stop in Nassau on its journey around the region during the hurricane season, where it has also been making some major anti-drugs intervention. This wonderful opportunity proved beneficial for all over the course of the weekend. HMS Dauntless, a Type 45 destroyer, is the second ship of the Royal Navy Darien class air defense destroyer. The ship is 50 foot long, can travel at a speed of 30 knots, top speed of 30 knots, and during hurricane season, carries to response helicopter and large amounts of hurricane response stores, including engineering and water production equipment. The ship has over 200 crew on board with various duties, all contributing towards keeping us safe this hurricane season, led by Captain Ben Dorrington. On Friday morning, the officers on board HMS reached out to the Royal Bahamas Defense Force for 3 weeks Bahamian graduates from the UK Dartmouth Naval College to assist with bringing the ship alongside in Nassau. So that's 3 Defense Force officers who recently graduated from the UK's Dartmouth Naval College, you know, they allowed them to bring in the ship into our new port. A fantastic beginning to begin, allowing for experience gain, making connections and new experience. Later on, you know, they went to welcome local youth at the GGYA for a tour of the impressive ship. A fantastic experience for the children. Some Royal Navies had the opportunity to visit the Royal Bahamas Defense Force base at Coral Harbor and discuss relationship with the Royal Bahamas Defense Force officers. Sunday saw a huge crowd of over 60 volunteers departed from the ship to head to Bain and Grandstand to join Lanahan Bahamas, a nonprofit organization focused on community development to create more resilient communities to assist with hurricane preparedness and get involved in a community cleanup. They were also joined by several volunteers from the Royal Bahamas Defense Force and the Rotary Club of East Nassau, an inspiring collaboration of individuals working together towards the same goal, working through the relentless summer heat. All the volunteers work tirelessly to achieve their shared objective, ensuring a safer environment for Bahamians through the hurricane season. You know, I was leading the crew of the Royal Navy, and, you know, we talk about the Bahamas being a violent country, and we hear all these travel advisory about do not come over the hill. In the Grandstand community for many years, I've taken on the responsibility of guests from around the world, and these soldiers was put in the hands of none other than Valentino Brand to help them in the community project, you know, as part of being a partner of Lanahan Bahamas. And as being the community leader of that community, I was given the task to make sure that the Royal Navy from Britain was safe. And this was a requirement by the Royal Bahamas Police Force. Our inspector, who was my good friend, who did a tremendous job of overseeing and making sure that the traffic was cleared, because the soldiers, them, you know, were going door to door cleaning up all debris, garbage, and et cetera, before they went and put on the hurricane shutters on the old folks' home. So we had them for about 6 hours. We started about around 11, it was raining. You know, we thought we wasn't going to get nothing done. And all of a sudden, the rain stopped, and man, these soldiers were excited, you know, so we gave them the task. And you imagine this, they're on a multi-million dollar warship, battleship. Now they come to the Bahamas, they're in the community and they want to do some volunteer work. Now we have to find something for these soldiers to do. And I'm always creative, so I know I'm still cleaning up. So I said to Miss Pritchett, to Mitzi, you know, we're gonna put this together where we can have these soldiers, you know, who are actually guests, even though they are soldiers on a battleship. Now these guys, them tote the most sophisticated weapons, but yet still when they're in the Bahamas, they have to make sure that they follow rules and regulation. And even as soldiers and having one of the most deadliest battleships, you know, they were put in the hands of Lanahan Bahamas and myself to make sure they were safe. And this was a requirement because the sub-commander who was in charge of the soldiers, he was speaking to me personally, and this was made a requirement along with the police standing there. And our community is safe regardless of what's going on. Those are just pocket incidents, and people are looking for their specific targets. And anyone who are around these persons who, you know, are targets can be in harm's way. So that's what's happening around the country, not only in Grand, you know, so there are people who are intended target, and then, you know, these guns are letting out a lot of bullets, you know, and they can't control these bullets. And these guys, you know, they have blood in their eyes, you know, they have vengeance in their eyes. So when they come to get whoever they get to come, and they spot them, you know, adrenaline is going, they just let loose. And sometimes in the crossfire, innocent people get hurt. Yeah, so it was a tremendous job they did, you know. I admire them. They went, you know, follow orders. They work as a team. No argument when it once given a task, along with the Royal Bahamas Defense Force now, because I was also put in charge of the Royal Bahamas Defense Force, and they did an extremely great job of collaboration. But what I want to say to the general public is that these soldiers who are trained, they still had a safety issue based on the travel advisory they have with this country. But I just like to say the travel advisory of this country shouldn't be for tourists. The travel advisory should be for Bahamians, because we have a problem with Bahamians. I always say this. If we have 100 murders, which we are close to this year, and if you look at the statistics, you won't find one tourist who visited from Canada, Germany, France, United States of America, has been killed with a firearm in this country or starved to death. It's very rare. So the 100 murders we have in the capital or around Nassau, New Providence, the victims are not going to be tourists. They're going to be Bahamians. We have a black-on-black syndrome crime in the country, not a white-on-black crime in Nassau, Bahamas. So the travel advisory is very wrong. And I proved that by bringing in guests from around the world in the community of Grandstand. And I'm talking about soldiers. I'm talking about... We had the British High Commissioner there, I think, and all. Let me see. We had when discussing the HMS Dauntless visit to the Bahamas, on the fourth anniversary of the hurricane, it is that I can welcome Dauntless to the Bahamas. The Royal Navy was the first international response in 2019 and was able to deploy engineers, marines, freshwater, and blah, blah, blah. And he said he want to thank the people of Nassau for welcoming the crew so openly. I am glad this has given us the chance to bring Britons and Bahamians closer together. So that's what he did for the Bahamas. And we can make the Bahamas a better place. But the soldiers them went in the yards, left fridge, left old abandoned stoves. You know, they were cutting grass. You know, they was doing such tremendous work. And we went along the whole of Lewis Creek. Then some of them went on the park with the Rotary Club of East Nassau. And they played basketball with the old 30 kids. They interact with the community as they was walking through. They was welcome in the community by the neighbors as they saw the soldiers walking through the community. Many people walking, so much question. You know, and I've been telling them they are soldiers, and that's the Royal Bahamas Defense Force, and they only giving back. You know, I'm telling them about the ship, and they're seeing these stuff. They say, go on Facebook and look at those guys on the warship. He say, what? The people are saying, those guys on the warship, and they around here helping us out? I say, wow, that's amazing. So it shows you the accomplishment we can do if we work together. So I would like to give a word of thanks to the Rotary Club of East Nassau and all of its members. Our development is taking shape in the Grandstand community. But surely, even though there are incidents happening, things have to happen until things can get better. We can't solve all the problems at once in the country. But just a collaboration like this, and if we keep it up, we can be able to solve a lot of the problems that are plaguing our country today. And I want to thank the Royal Bahamas Defense Force. I want to thank the Royal Bahamas Police Force. I want to thank the Rotary Club of East Nassau. Again, that's my favorite club. And to all the members, because they've been working with me individually, and they've been working together as a team with Lenahan Bahamas and many projects that is brought up. I would also like to give thanks to Ms. Sheila Pritchett, Mitzi, and the whole team at Lenahan Bahamas, East Creek Gospel Chapel Church, Pastor Ed Dorsett, the Malis family, the Simonet family, and all those who contributed to the wonderful success of the program that's been, and also to the community residents and to the community boys and girls who accompanied the soldiers and took them to the park and let them have a wonderful time interacting. Besides cleaning up, you know, then it was, after we finished cleaning up, it was eats and drinks, and we interacting, and there was bears given out. We were talking to the soldiers. They were so open. You know, they say, man, they had such a fabulous time. You know, they were interacting with the kids. The female soldiers who were part of the British Royal Navy, you know, some of those little girls, you know, they were interacting with those young female soldiers from the British naval ship. And they were teaching them how to plait their hair. And man, you could see how happy I can with the community resident. Just a thumbs up and a win for everyone. I want to thank the Bahamas government for a wonderful partnership also. And show that we can change the dynamics of our country if we learn to work together, put ego aside, and just work together for something that is bigger than all of us. So as ambassador for my community, I'm quite pleased with the success we had over the weekend with the Royal Navy and the Royal Bahamas Police Force. the Royal Bahamas Defense Force, and Rotary Club of East Nassau. Okay. Now I get to my topic. Good night, everyone. And I know many of you listen sometime, and some of you might, you know, don't like my tone of voice. But I'm speaking from a personal perspective, you know. I'm not a biased person. I don't hate on no organization. I don't hate on the church. I don't hate on the beliefs. I don't hate on the community. You know, I'm just a person who's trying to have a conversation so that we see the problems that we have and see how we could fix it. The church can improve. We inherited a system, you know, that's supposed to be helping people build their lives so that people can be prepare themselves for heaven, not for hell, okay? And we can improve. Because the church, for its objective and what the church was really formed for, is these words, to make sure all needs were met. Collection was gathered for in the church. Collection of days gathered for building the church and buying a church car and et cetera. Yeah, that's all good. But the collection was to make sure that the members of the church, the poor and needy, those who are rich and have businesses inside the church, were able to give to the priest. And the priest was able to disperse the funds to the right set of people to get in the family's hands so that they can improve the conditions of their lives. So that's the first objective of the church, to make sure all needs were met. And that's what I speak upon. You know, the church can do more to make sure that many people's needs are met, because we have a lot of hurting people in this country. So now let me go to my topic. So when I speak on the matter, I'm not hating. I love God. I love Jesus, but I know his real name. I just see some false doctrine that we need to speak the truth. And then if we inherit a system that we know how we should call it, it's reverse psychology, and we fall into that trap. But let's use it. Hey? Let's use it for what it really was designed for, and that to make sure that when we see the poor and suffering, that we make sure that everyone need is met. So that's why I speak on the church, because I know it, they can do more. Okay, let me get to my topic. I said that I was going to say how the belief serves its purpose. The police over the last 100 years have been the backbone of keeping law and order in the country. Without the police, you know, we'd have chaos in the country, because we have people who don't abide by the law. And then we have some people who break the law. And everything for the police to go after these individuals and try to apprehend them and put them before the court and to get them off the streets, then we'd have chaos in our country. Okay, when there's a complaint being made about a neighbor and there's a back and forth, you know, you can call the police. And hopefully if they do a proper investigation, because not because you call the police, that means you're in the right. You could be calling the police and you're in the wrong, but if the police is not going to do a proper investigation and see who the complaint filed against and have a one-on-one with them to see their side of the story and see if everything match up, and then they're going to decide well, who was right and who was wrong. They serve their purpose in that way also. Traffic accidents, they serve their purpose. You know, they serve their purpose in so many different ways in the country that we can't comprehend what the country would be like without the police. Okay? They keep the traffic flowing. You know, they make sure that people driving the right manner. Make sure you're turning your signals, your brakes light working. All this, they serve a purpose, a big purpose. And we appreciate them for that. Notwithstanding the fact that, you know, we all know that there needs to be improvement. And when I say there needs to be improvement, when we look at some of the instances where citizens have lost their lives in the crossfire of members of the Royal Bahamas Police Force, a citizen would know that, hey, this was an innocent person killed by the police. And then the police, you know, would defend the officers. And this is irate the country and irate and cause the division between the police and the citizen. And the remark, and as good as a remarkable job that the police are doing for the country, you know, all this good stuff I talked about, we're not taking that away. But on this end here, it sends a message that, you know, a mistake was made where the community know, like, for instance, Lil D and Mason. I know the whole Lee family, you know. Muff is my classmate. I know Johnny Lee. I know Delton, you know, and I know many of them. And they're a big family in Mason. And when we heard that, you know, and I know both D's mom and dad, you know, Chubby is his daddy. You know, I know his mom too, one of Lee's sisters. And we all know the story about it. And it was a case of mistaken identity where a young man lost his life. And then witness it. And they was giving their side of the story, and the police was giving their side of the story. And, you know, the police said, no, it was a robbery attempt. There was a convenience store that we all go to, John Taylor. And I think the, you know, normally we all would go there for noodles and sauce and, you know, cup of tea, you know, small convenience store. And according to the information, you know, I got robbed on, and then poison matcher description, you know. And, you know, most of us in the community wear the same clothes. And according to what was said on that part of the community, you know, it's hearsay, but it adds up, because this actually would happen because people saying, everyone's saying the same thing. And they said, you know, the person ran in the vicinity, and at the same time, that the, you know, marching description came true, and the officers, you know, could have mistaken, not the officers could, they think he was the person, and then you would panic, you know, seeing the officers come to the shortcut, because you walk in, and then guns drawn, so automatically you'd be startled, and then he must have made a little move, because, you know, that's how it is, you know, you just be startled, because, you know, there's two officers. The officers are doing their job. I want the public to notice they're doing their job, because armed robbery was reported. So based on the high crime and the high rate of armed robberies happening in the country, these officers have their families also, and they have to go home. And that don't mean they have to act rogue or shoot first and ask questions later, even though the country is a conflict zone where we're having like close to 100 murders. Yeah, so the police, you know, are vigilant and they are on high alert. So in between there, a mistake could have been made or have been made, and a young man lost his life. And then I was listening a few days ago where the lawyer for the family was saying, you know, there were so many technicalities where the officers themselves removed the gun, so-called gun, allegedly is D's gun. But the officers removed the firearm from the scene of the crime. And then also their service revolver, who they were supposed to turn over to the corners, was never given in a timely fashion. So how did you know that this gun was not put there? Or there was a gun there, you know? Or they could switch the guns, you know, and et cetera. And all these points were made up, and this is not part of the protocol. So protocol was broken as part of the Royal Bahamas Police Force when it comes to the corners and investigation when a life is lost. Because you have to give an explanation for firing your gun, and you have to give an explanation why this young man is dead. And then there have to be investigators, because it's not a crime scene. It's a crime scene for the police. And they have to investigate to give closure to the family. At the same time, the family, that the Mason is just like probably the least of the whole family. So everyone came out, and then there was turmoil, and people were seeing this and that. And to many, that's where they felt bad about it. And that's where many lose distrust with the police. Now, I think the family of the young man who got killed in Farrington Road, I think there's investigation and they find the officers. Let me see if I can find it. Let me see if I can find it. One second, because I think I have it on my Facebook. Yeah, let me see if I can find it real quick.
Rid of cockroaches, flies, mosquitoes, in addition to removing dust, dirt, and perfuming your entire home.
Yeah, so, you know, they will. Like I say in the offices, you know, that don't give us the right to just shoot for us and ask questions. And the family, you know, was being restless for many years. And then I saw, like I said a few days ago, the case now has been before the court. And they ruled manslaughter in Evans' death. And what that means now, is that it's not a criminal case, but it's at being fault that the officers are at fault. So just like what the community was saying and the family was saying and everyone else was saying, the officers now will either be put before the court. That's up to the Attorney General's office to face a manslaughter charge. We don't know that. And this is the kind of stuff we're talking about. So the citizens were right, the family were right, you know. And there were protocols broken by the Royal Bahamas Police Force. And I'm saying I'm not attacking the Royal Bahamas Police Force. I want this to help improve the communication with the behemoth public, to bring that trust back again, where we could trust the officers. We know that they're doing a tremendous and stressful and very dangerous job. People, just remember what I'm saying now. We have 100-plus murders per year, okay? We have, like, close to, what, 500, 600 armed robbery every year. Abuse is high in our country. Sexual assault is high in our country. Rape is high in our country. Police brutality is high in the country. Just as well, I talked about the assault of individual armed robbery. So if we keep this up, where we're fighting against one another, police are doing that. And then the citizens, you know, themselves are doing it because, you know, poverty and no opportunity. It's crazy. You understand? And we always have the whole integrity and honesty. You know, now, I'm listening to the lawyer now. You could go on Eyewitness News and hear the whole story. The coroner's court judge rules homicide by manslaughter in Evans' death. That's Lil D. And we have seen about four other cases like this where people have lost their loved ones and we are finding guilty homicide by manslaughter. Now, no one has yet been put before the courts for criminal charges. So I guess it's the step in the right direction. But I just want to say to the general public, you might be saying this is not enough. You know, we want more. We want to see these officers go to jail. Remember, we are fighting against a system that has been around a long time and they've been using this tactics for many years. Now that it has been exposed by the citizens, people like Edwin's family and the Lee family and the Major's family, who are getting their private investigators and to come and do their own reporting because they wasn't trusting their association and the coroner's court are saying, you know, they distrust that because basically, you know, over the years, many people feel that the coroner's court was all beliefs and they're not gonna persecute beliefs. So we're drastically seeing some changes. Changes where we're seeing officers get charged. Now, the next step is now to see if they're going to face criminal charges. And I think it's a step in the right direction. I think that the advocate, again, from the Lee family, the Lee family, the Evans family, and many other people who have lost their life. And yeah, there was a role, you know, who have lost their life. And like I said, you're seeing many of the cases now are finding these officers, you know, committed manslaughter. If they're going to get guilty, if they're going to prison, they cannot say. That's for the maternity. But overall, we're seeing progress. And people want the truth, you understand? And for many years, you know, we never had apology from the Royal Bahamas Police Force when it comes to someone losing their life. Because they don't want to lose credibility, you know? People to start to sue them on a regular basis, you know? And they don't want to lose that what you call power, you know, we is the big bad wolf. And see, it's not the individual officers, no. It's just the system that has been programmed them over the years because the power they inherit has gotten so that has made them delusional, to make them not think what they're doing to the country when they know that officers who are on the Royal Bahamas Police Force made a mistake, but yet still could cover it up and make it seem that the family is in the wrong. And then this is one of the reasons why the Bahamian public now don't fully cooperate with the Royal Bahamas Police Force, because of the power, privilege that many of the officers display themselves. And then other incidents, you know, I was watching on Facebook, and I think it was a taxi driver was on somewhere downtown. First, let me talk about the one I saw driving with the tourist, elderly gentleman, probably in his 50s. You know, I don't know. I'm watching one part of the Facebook flick, so I can't say if the taxi driver is at fault or the police officer is at fault. But, you know, sometimes, you know, you watch one part of Facebook or one part of the movie, and that's the middle, but you don't even see the beginning. Let me explain it the best way I can and see, by looking at it from the middle and hearing the response of the taxi driver, if he was threatening to the police officer, if he was behaving disorderly to the police officer, and I'd get into that. So I saw on the footage where he had a taxi full of tourists, and the officer told him, get out, and then tell him, spread his hand. See, this is what bothers me here. Is this taxi driver a murderer? Is this taxi driver an armed robber who just committed an indictable offense? Is this taxi driver someone who just wielded a gun or just committed a serious offense for this officer the ugly way when we have guests? You want to say to us that we got to show hospitality to the guests, but what about when we have officers who are actually blatantly using their power and then we have guests there? What you have to say about that? Now, like I said, I don't know if the taxi driver cursed the officer or said something insulting to the officer. I didn't see him that way. He was talking to the officer nice in a nice, calm voice, and the officer just trimmed against the bus. And the taxi driver said, you're going to do this to me? And he's a taxpayer, and I pay your paycheck? So that's the question. Should the officer manhandle that particular taxi driver the way he handled him? Is this taxi driver committed a murder? No. See, an officer should use the aggression like that when he is facing a person who shoot at the police, or a person who is resisting arrest, cursing them and isn't the wrong up, or get some type breaking in somebody's house, or the police is telling you to be quiet and to stay still, and they consistently be harassing the police officer, intimidating and cursing, then the police has no choice to do that. Yeah, in those cases. But man, if you're a citizen who is not breaking no law, and you are a law-abiding citizen, and you're having a conversation with an officer, the officers are supposed to sit down and listen and try to de-escalate the situation, because that is a taxi driver. He is not a guy who just killed somebody. He is not a rapist. He is not an armed robber. So your approach should be different. He is a citizen who is contributing, and he's just as important as you as a police officer, as him being a taxi driver. But he has to interact with these tourists from all around the world to show them that the Bahamas is a wonderful place. And then what you guys could do, you go embarrass him, then you could put cuffs on him. And he's not a murderer. See, the police should be rogue if my picture is wanted in the police station. Okay? Or someone make a threatening complaint where I try to take their life or I rape somebody and the evidence is proven. Other than that, if you pull me over a traffic offense and I am a law-abiding citizen, you should not be harassing me when I'm a law-abiding citizen. I only run the red light. So give me a say, good night, sir. You run the red light. Could you give me a reasonable reason for why you run the red light? Say, officer, I really was busy and I was thinking a lot and I'm really, really sorry about it. Could you give me a break? If you can't give me a break, what's the fine? Let me run your name to your computer. If you have no priors or no criminal record, I give you a break today. But please, next time, drive a Dukey on caution and please stop when you see the red light on caution, okay? And that's the kind of stuff we want to help with our officers. Now, then the next incident I saw on Facebook, this was the bus drivers. And this was the inspector. Now, like I say, I only glimpsed the part again where the gentleman was standing up. Someone was trying to take the plates off the bus. So the gentleman was explaining to the officer, explaining to the inspector, who's supposed to understand that these people are taxpayers. They are not criminals. So there's no reason for the inspector to get so riled up where he is not de-escalating the situation. He should not be getting riled up like that because the taxi driver, the bus driver is only a bus driver. They have a license. They are not wanted for no type of criminal offenses. So why would you irate a person who's contributing to development in the country based on your superiority and this power you get that you inherit from the British and you're applying it to your brother who's working just like you? Why not just listen for a second? But no, you was inspector. You can't tell me the man saying, I ain't doing nothing. And it's the officer, that inspector, who was completely out of order. Completely out of order based on the Facebook. And the tourists were right there. So this is the kind of example, and this is the kind of world Muhammad believes for us, that we are citizens supposed to have in our country. The guests was there. Other citizens was there. And you could see all the people around who were standing around saying, man, he ain't doing nothing. And this officer was all around. He was choking this man out on the ground. You're an inspector. You don't need to act that way. Just listen. And then if you need assistance, you could always call in your backup. You had a backup officer. An officer didn't want to do nothing. He didn't want to help you because he could see that inspector was out of order. And then again, like I say, it's two sides of the story. I don't know if that particular individual said something so threatening to the officer, you're so riled up that he forget that this guy is a law-abiding citizen. See, that taxi driver and the bus driver, they're law-abiding citizen. They're not wanted. Y'all are told to warn citizens who's not wanted should not be that way. Y'all are told supposed to be for prisoners who are escaping from a mandatory prison or a guy who is wanted from the police who is causing havoc. That's when the law should apply. But for persons like bus drivers and taxi and persons who are abiding by the law and are not wanted, your approach cannot be that way. Your approach can't be the same as you approaching the criminal who is armed and who is dangerous. No. And that on, I just want to say this too. We have some stink people with stink attitude who themselves like don't follow authority. And like I say, on the flick, some people could be cursing the police and cause the police get irate. So we also have to look on our side as citizens to also try to de-escalate the situation as well. Because sometimes we is be the big part of the problem. You understand? You understand what I'm saying, General Public? And this is the kind of stuff I like to talk about because I have a clear understanding about these things. This year is very disturbing, and this has been happening so much in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. in the Tribune, says here, woman left unable to see after police officer punched her in her eye. Okay? And if you read the newspaper, you'd see. Now, like I tell you, the lady giving her side of the story. Now, her side of the story could be true, just as well as false. But I ain't gonna lie, her eye closed down. And she had to go to the hospital, and then she had a routine of damage. She don't know if she's ever going to be able to see what her eye 100%. And if you read the newspaper, you would see where she was saying she was on the line. She don't know if this officer was a police. And she was saying, you know, how people were trying to get at her. You know, because she looked beautiful, and then, you know, some guys say one or two things. She says she's talking to somebody else, and then he got involved, and then it started from there. And then, you know, she started, though. He say something to her, insulting to her. She say something back to him, which she ain't know he's a police as yet. And then it went on from there, and then I think a little pushing and shoving. Now, he can't be a police officer. Now, I don't know, like I said, I don't know where the argument start, but if you read the newspaper, it seems like the woman is in the right because she has died. Point of what escalated the situation. And if you're reading it down the line, it seems like she's in the right and the officer is in the wrong because they are power struck. And again, this lady is a free citizen. Is she wanted for an officer to approach her and punch her in the eye? See, this thing she needed to look at, you know. You understand? If you were a citizen and you were broken no law, why should the police approach you and you can't talk to them? They could say anything they want to say to you, but when you say something, they want to hit you, and then they charge you with assault, resisting arrest, and all this. And if he did hit this, if he did hit this female in the eye, that's assault charge. And he should be brought on before the court for assault. Because the same way if the police put their hands on you and slap you as a citizen, that's assault. He has no right to slap you, okay? Unless it's reason of him have a justifiable cause, meaning that he came to this drug house and they have the search warrant and they're trying to get in this house. And the people trying to force them from not getting the notes, they have a right to use force. That is acceptable. Or there's a fight going on between two individuals and they're trying to stop it and no one is listening. Yeah, two of them need to get their head boys off because that's the only thing we're calling them on. So yeah, in that instance where you know one will listen, the police have to show them who's the Babylon Blue. I am Constable Brun. They call me Boy Blue. I have me a warrant to arrest you because you beat up your girl in blue. I come to show what the Haley police can do. Yes. In that case. But she is a female. And is our Minister of National Security and our Commissioner of Police are looking at all these complaints and having the police before in the newspaper? This is alarming because it's been happening so much that we have come immune to it. Just like this murder, we become immune to it. Our system has become immune to it. So I'm advising if you're on the right and the police insist on having all these assault charges put against them while having people in custody or when people are even out of custody, like this lady who was out minding her own business and then she got an argument with an off-duty police or somebody, an off-duty officer. He, because he's a police officer and he have a big scribe, he decide that she needs to get locked up. And she get locked up. He was locked up and got to the station. How could you lock a citizen up who trying to express a sister who is just like you, is a behemoth just like you, but because you ran that barge, you decide that, hey, she is alien. And if anyone say anything back to me, lock up. What is lockup? What I lock up for? So when I ask you, what I lock up for, you go, hello, you lock up. Give me a probable cause for you and me, you even questioning me right now. Give me a reason, officer. Why are you questioning me right now? Have I breaking any type of law? You don't have no reason to question me. But when we get in a little argument, I lock up, but you can't give a probable cause. When I reach the station, it's just all to be able resisting arrest. I explained that the other day. And like I said, I'm not against no police officer on the force. I have many great police officers over the years, and I have a great relationship with a lot of officers. I'm just saying that we could have a better system in the bomb. We have the best Royal Bond in the world, the Royal Bahamas Police Force. Think about that. Thousands of bonds around the world. Countries with millions and millions and millions of people. But yet still, the Bahamas has the very best Royal Bahamas Police Force. Different, Royal Bahamas Police Bond. The best in the world. So why we can't have the best Royal Bahamas Police Force, who shows compassion, who tells the truth and shows integrity. And when there's mistakes made, we correct those mistakes by apologizing and trying to train our officers on the mistakes of all the things I talked about. Train your officers on the Royal Bahamas Police Force. Train them how to interact with Bahamian citizens who are not criminals. Okay? Train them how to de-escalate situation and save the court a lot of time and money. I went to court and spent over $10,000 over nothing being a good Samaritan. I had about 10 police officers almost kill me. And the lucky thing I was a strong guy. I was able to save my life for nothing. And I explained the case to y'all about 4 or 5 years ago. And I went to court and I get charged with disorderly behavior, resisting arrest, obscene language. And when I talked to the Honorable Judge Swan, and she heard my evidence, she apologized to me. I won my case. I won all the charges. And she sent a bad message. I didn't even have to go on there. I was the one who was being the good Samaritan. I ended up before the court. And the guy who is the culprit who stole the tennis, who went to the police station and put in a false report, he was able to get 2 persons locked up. And he is the one who break the law. He is the one who steal the guy's tennis. He is the one who going to give a false report. Now, I locked up, and my friend locked up, and I have to spend about $10,000 for a lawyer for a 7-month period. That's the money that I'm supposed to use to go put my roof on my restaurant. And that set me back like 2 years. You understand? It ain't right. A lot of people out there who get approached by the police are not criminals. They are law-abiding citizens. It's just that the police them are too aggressive. And when people ask questions back, like I had a female ask the individual what your problem is. And then he said something. And she said, Kaya, big thingam. And she said, you know, Kaya. And he get mad. And then he won. No. Officers like this are unacceptable for the Royal Bahamas Police Force. Either they're going to be disciplined and put back to anger management classes. You understand? And that's what the show all about. And then we're going to the second half. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City.
Brother Brown, I hope you're doing well.
I'm fine, Mr. Thompson.
I was listening in interest to what you were saying. One question arose in my mind. Is it constitutionally sound what you're saying to the public? That's question number one. The thing, Brother Brown, is that most people, the average citizen, doesn't understand the law.
Mm.
You have hundreds, if not thousands, of pieces of law. When they appear before a magistrate, they read the penal code. That's the first time they're hearing that. It's to them. Mm. Our weakness is that we have never taught law to the Bahamian people. We have, how many lawyers you said there were? Over 2,000, eh?
Yes, sir.
Okay. That is not helping the average citizen. If we can get people to be taught how to behave, how to conduct themselves in the community. In fact, there was a murder right in your area.
Yes.
Last night, and two others. One man died at
yes.
the age of 20.
Yes.
And two others,
got shot.
Man and a woman, went to the hospital. You're going to find that, and I see in my own area where these flare-ups occur,
mm-hmm.
you will find that people will have a big argument in the house, and the nastiest things they be saying to each other.
Yes.
And comes out into the street.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes out into the street, I've seen it happen over and repeatedly. Then others get involved. Now, what I try to do in my area is I get on well with everybody.
You were seeing your man up there, sir.
Area.
You was the senior man up there, sir. You was the mayor up there. You was the mayor.
I don't ever get personal with them.
No.
Because they had one party up here the other day, and I know the boy and his girlfriend. And I told him, now, listen, see, I don't want to get into anything with you and her. I know both of you very well. I don't want to get into that. I had to stop him. And I said, if anything, in dealing with the community, fine. And so you have to draw the line.
Mm-hmm.
And so people will come to you and tell you different things. You have to learn how to draw the line and handle it properly. Now, with these officers, we're not getting very good response from the police, from the Central Police Station. They're always telling you they don't have no car, they ain't got no police officer, all kind of things they come up with. They do not seem to understand if you can deal with these complaints, loud music, right in front of my place, unlawful assembly, which is contrary to law. People dumping garbage in other people's yards. People come and eat and they litter right in front of your gate. All right? Now, when I speak to them, they'll move. They move away. They don't argue with me. But it is a constant problem among people in the community. In fact, you got a few who are just irritating.
Yes, they just don't want no respect.
Yeah. It's not the majority of the
people. No, it's a few. It's a few.
The majority of people are fine.
It's just a few who keep on dumping.
But you got irritants in there.
And, yes.
And according to the law, I don't have any powers of enforcement of law.
Yes, sir.
And as a justice of the peace, there's certain authorities I do have.
Yes, sir.
But the thing is, the Magistrates Act says very plainly, you're to quell disturbances and tumults. And when you call on the police, the Act says very clearly, they are to assist and obey you. But they don't do that. Police will come in the community and they don't even inform the justice of peace about anything.
So, I'm asking a question, Mr. Thompson. They also come to you for search warrant, right?
Yeah, they do that, yeah.
When they radiate.
Yeah, when they radiate.
You see?
But the point is, I told the chief superintendent.
Yes, sir.
When I did call him, he tells me, I don't know what I'm talking about. When I met him in person, I say, now listen.
You don't know what justice of peace says?
Huh?
He says it.
No, you don't even know who the justice of peace is.
You could sit
That's
in for
the point.
You
don't
could
even
in,
know.
You could be sitting a judge. You could be a sitting judge and all, Mr. Thompson.
Yes.
Am I correct?
That is correct, yes.
All right, then.
He doesn't even understand. I say the attorney general's office didn't tell you nothing.
So how?
Then he tells me, say now, he was just on the job for about a couple of weeks.
What kind of police training is this?
You know, so, in fact, he was informed and told by some others that if you're going into Fortland Castle, who you must meet with. But he didn't do that. Well, finally, he did come.
Mm-hmm.
And I spoke to him and his assistant, and I had no problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, there has to be a strong working relationship.
Yes, sir.
Between the citizenry in the community and the police. Now, see, police headquarters right across the road, just a stone's throw away from our area. They will be quicker in Lyford Key before they come into Fortland Castle. They'll find themselves in Kemp Road before they come into Fortland Castle.
Wow.
Because the people, basically, the citizenry has been ignored.
Yeah.
And that is a problem that the people have in this community.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that they have to look at it objectively. In fact, I got to go and see the commissioner of police or his deputy. Because they keep sending us up there. I said, well, what's the point of having Central Police Station? What's the point of you being here? Because you can't help me at all.
So, Mr. Thompson, you would agree that the topic tonight we have is needy and it's informative, and you agree that we need to have a more comprehensive communication between the police and the citizens of the country, and especially the justice of peace, like
no,
you said.
No, you just started fading out. Speak a little louder.
Well, I'm saying that our topic tonight is on the same par as when it comes to the relationship with the police and the communication.
Well, the relationship ought to improve. Right now, it's...
But, and okay, we're hearing this from a senior man like Justice of the Peace, Mr. Thompson. We're hearing this from him, okay? General Public. Yes. Sorry, Mr. Thompson, for interrupting you, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, but the thing is that we had a good relationship with Brother Dean, who was Senior Assistant Commissioner of Police.
Stephen Dean.
Anytime anything was to happen by the police, he will always get me, say, I got to go to see Mr. Thompson. And he would come himself, you know.
Yes, sir.
He made sure of that. Everything the police was doing in here, I knew about it.
Yes, sir.
Before the community knew about it.
Yes, sir.
But they don't do that anymore. They just come in and do an act as they please. Riding around in your car ain't doing nothing. They tell them you all need to get out of these cars and talk to the people.
That's right. Community policing.
Community policing.
That's right.
And so the people could be familiar with
the officers.
We were well familiar with the officers under Stephen.
Yes. Because that was the urban
knew
that's
them.
True.
They knew the people across
that is true. That is true.
In the community. So we had that community relationship
yes,
with
sir.
The police.
That's correct.
That is the best way to deal with criminal activity.
Yes.
And then you, Brother Brown, you'll have less criminal activity.
I agree with you.
People have a better relationship.
I agree with you 150%, sir.
Yeah. And I'm sorry to hear what happened in your area last
year. Yeah, I'll talk about it real quick when you finish.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you very much, and all the best to you.
Man, thank you very much, sir. You a senior man, and I also have the utmost respect for you when you speak. You speak
yes,
with authority,
sir.
And you letting the Bahamian people know that there is a disconnect between the police force and our relationship can improve. And we want to thank you very much for your input, sir. You did very well tonight.
Thank you very much, Brother Brown.
My pleasure, sir, to have
all
you
the
on.
Best.
Yes,
okay.
sir. Thank you very much. And that is our senior... citizen, but Mr. Thompson has contributed greatly to this country for many years. He speaks about the Constitution, and he's letting you know that we don't box, you know, and we need to study it, learn it, and stand up for your constitutional rights in the country as a citizen. Okay? Yeah, and I was talking about, you know, Mr. Thompson, you know, I was referring to the recent death, you know. The family, the Moxie, lived through Lewis Street many years. They're my family, too. But I mean family. I have known Miss Moxie. She passed away. I've known Zion Moxie. He passed away, too. I've known the entire family from I was a baby. And we lived through Lewis Street. And everyone has problems in their family. I'm not trying to exclude or you know, I'm just being upfront. Everyone has bad people in their family, you know. And I'm not speaking on no particular family, and I've known this family for many years, and the family has gone through a lot in the last few years. I just give you a background to show how everything ties in. But just recently, my good friend Maria, I talked to her a few hours ago. In fact, when I leave OJ, I'm going to look for her, and we're going to sit down and drink one or two beers. She just recently lost her son, but Mr. Thompson is talking about Seth. I know his father, Al. Father lives in Canada now, in Canada, so he's flying over now to come and, you know, help with finding out and help probably the funeral arrangements. I know Maria, she just lost us her third oldest son, Seth. Then she lost him. Then a few months ago, about 3-4 months ago, she had a next son, who was charged with the double murder of the modern daughter. That was one of her sons, and he's in jail now. So now she has to go from a son in custody now to life. The family has been through a lot. Before that, their older sister, one of their younger sisters, Joey, she was killed in a double murder a few years ago, you know. And then they had a brother by the name of Parky, who me and him are the same age, and then it was alleged that he was pushed off the truck in Freeport And then just recently, you know, they had one of the brother's sister who, brother's daughter, who just recently charged for murder in the shooting scene that you saw happen on Bain Tan. So all this is just one family. You know, then they had a little nephew, my boy, Machiavelli. Machiavelli, you know, he watched his mom, dead body on the ground. And he's one of the daughter who, of the family who got killed in the double murder, Joey. And then he witnessed his mom, you know, with her head blown open as a young baby. And, you know, that traumatized him. And now he himself, you know, end up in a life of crime, and he's in Foxwoods prison. So if you look at it, you know, it's just crazy, you know, what's happening in our community. We've lost three young men who from the community in the space of 3 months. And if you listen to what and why, it's just crazy, you know. So my condolences goes out to all the families. And it's all like one corner here, one corner here, one corner here. And just a little mix up, you know, and all us are family in the community, you know. I hope that, you know, we get stronger. And I seen people start to console one another around in the community. All the families who have been involved in this shooting, you know. In fact, into the Chinese a few Sundays ago, last week Sunday, I saw Romeo's Miss Elsie, who grew up with my mom, and I love Miss Elsie. They just like my family too. And Farka's son Smokey is my cousin. And she met in the store along with Tommy and Keisha, you know. And their sons was involved in the shooting with her sons, her grandson. And it just shows that we're a family and some of these things, you know, can be resolved. It's just that, you know, we're older now. We don't know what the young kids are doing. And they're not telling us nothing. But if we just knew what was going on, we could have had a dialogue on this one to happen, you know. So that's what I'm saying. We got to get stronger as a community, more community policing. Okay, we're going to take this call on Inside the Inner City. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Mr. Brown?
Yes, this is Mr. Brown.
Yeah, how you doing, sir?
I'm fine, sir.
You're doing an excellent job as usual.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, based upon what you were saying in reference to the police and everything, I mean, you were right on target, and I could appreciate the fact that you are still taking a stand towards trying to assist people and having a better relationship with the police, and I think that's all you're really doing. You're not trying to create any havoc with the police, because we understand that you're trying to do the best you can to at least have the citizen have a better relationship with the police, right?
Yes, sir.
That's very good. Now, what happened is, since P.K. Barnaby time on the Royal Bahamas Police Force, senior, there haven't really been much policing. I realize that. What happened is that the police officers today, I was never like the police officers in the past, as I could recall, mm-hmm. because what happened now is that even when a police officer comes out of training,
yes, sir,
his mentality elevates into a commissioner of police, meaning that he out on that street and ain't nobody controlling him.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I can tell you that.
Go ahead.
Let me tell you something. One time ago, saying that when you go on a new job, that can be your best performance, because you're trying to now make sure the boss know that you're doing things that is, that would help the organization to move forward, not to hurt it. And you can be fearful of your job. But what I believe happening is that the police force is so condemned right now. I use the word condemned. Tell the ones who come out of training and realize what their friends may have been doing. And they now
pick it up.
And they run with it. Yeah. And they realize that there's no consequences.
Yes, sir.
For your action.
Go ahead, sir. Go ahead.
So they come in at an early stage.
Yes,
they
sir.
Don't wait till late.
Mm-hmm.
Or like they used to say in the back in the days, you can wait till dark to do wrong. Don't do it in the day. But now you see what happened now?
Coming on
people
the day.
Are now doing wrong in the day in more the day. Than the night.
Yes.
They're not waiting anymore.
They say they come out of the dark and into the light now. Yes.
Right. So what happened is, what happened now? These graduates from... The people who are graduates, who are graduating from the Royal Bahamas Police Force College.
Yes, sir.
They coming in with that mindset because their intent is to be just like their friends.
Yep.
And they don't have much people. See, a lot of people that say, order. You see what the small man doing? Let me tell you something, Mr. Brown. You would know this for a fact. The small man follow orders from the top.
Yes, sir.
So don't mind that. If they robe like that, even though they may be sending up, even though the head may be pretending that he ain't on their side, he's on their side.
I agree with you fully, 100%.
So I don't know who they think they're trying to fool. He's directing them.
Mm-hmm.
Because guess what? If you know your boss can be down on you, mm-hmm. and you know that's your job, buddy, you can change or you can be. You know that, but in your heart, he ain't got to tell you that no more.
Yeah, you're correct, sir.
But because this is so openly done and so blatantly done, it's because they would say, hey, I went with them. Do what you got to do. Go back to work. Look at the man who was connected. Look at the police officer. Let me tell you an incident.
Go ahead, sir.
These police officers came on a location. And the location, the person reported threats of death.
Mm-hmm.
They arrive at the location. Now, when they arrive at the location, this is what they said. When the person reported to them what happened to them, he said, one of the police officers said, hey, I don't believe no threats of death reports. Just like that. He said, I don't believe no. He said, I just come off of one. I say, when I come off of that report, the woman who reported that she was being threatened, she never come outside. That's why we come here late. This is the 911 call now.
Mm.
He said, that's why we reach here late, because we was on another call just like this, and I don't believe these calls to be real. Now, you think that's anything professional for a police officer to say?
No, he have to investigate. He have to investigate.
And guess what he did? Why are you so dumb? The thing about it...
What he is?
That's a dummy.
Okay, go ahead, sir.
Let me tell you why I said that. Me being trained in that sort of background, right?
Yes, sir.
I just could say that, right? Then the officer went to the first call, and he didn't see the person who he claimed made the call. You dummy, that's a threat to death call. How you know that the person ain't holding the person inside and they can't get out? You don't just leave the scene. You scan the scene. You try and look through the window. You try and listen to see on the house, because you get a call for that area. She could be on the ground in the back suffering. You don't just leave the scene like a dummy. Talking about, you know, nobody answer.
Yes, sir.
You think you're going to Burger King, eh?
No, sir.
But you mean nobody answer.
You get a complaint. You have to follow up your complaint, because people's lives can be at stake.
Right. Especially when they say it's a threat. Now, let me tell you what. The police officer came there. The person reported the threat to them. They said, that's how they throw it off. Oh, we don't like believe these kind of things, right? Now, a young lady came outside who the person was complaining about her uncle.
Yes, sir.
This is what the police officer did. He looked at the young lady. Everything going down the drain when he see the young lady. She looked good, right?
Yeah.
Everything going down the drain. He forget everything he come there for. He said, what you saying? The city saying, you know, without trying to put some waiting. He talked to the little bit of girl. He said, what you saying, man? He said, boy, you look good. Just like this, you know. 911 call, you know.
Uh-huh.
Boy, you look... He's saying, boy, you look good.
So...
He said, you would look good... If you look good in them clothes, just like this. If you look good in them clothes, I'll imagine how you look when you come out the top.
Sir, not cutting you off.
Yeah.
In the newspaper, the woman who got hit in the eye, she said, this how the argument start now. Just like what you're saying now. If you read the newspaper, the Tribune,
yeah.
That was, let me see.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, just what you're saying now.
I was talking about
it. Just what you said, that's exactly how the conflict started, if it is the truth.
Yes. See, I ain't calling no names. I'm telling you what happened.
Yes, sir.
The officer said, boy, if you look good in them clothes, imagine how you look when you come out of the shower. Right? So she laughed.
Yeah.
Right? And then he say, that time he ignoring the person who he come for the report on, you know. He even ain't paying no attention to them. Yeah. He even ain't talking to them no more. He talking to her. So he say to her, say, you give me a number?
Mm.
Say, give me a number, man. So she start laughing again. So they going in the corner talking. This is a 911 vehicle, you know.
That's unprofessional. That's past unprofessional. You still like all
of them? And then the next one say, Hey, I could get your number too. Now, this is the next police officer, you know. This is the one who looked like he ain't exercised in months. He say, I can get your number, too. He say, which one of y'all want? He say, she want to do a sign the number.
Still there? Okay, he gone, he left. He made some good points, you know. And yes, that's what we're talking about right now. We need to be able to hold our officers accountable. Like I say, I have no attack on no officers because we really need our police officers in the country. But incidents like what we're seeing, you know, it's not right for what's going on in the country. I want to give a special shout out to my boy, Scrubber. We got him Brookshot. He owns the world famous fish fry restaurant, Joey's Old Fish Fry. And then my good friend, Cardo, who was on the show. Both of them were on the show a few months ago. Cardo owned the Drifters, world-renowned Drifters, with some of the nicest set of food that you can imagine. He has my good friend, Kendra, there. So when you go to Fish Fry, please stop by Joey's, world-famous, and Drifters, owned by Cardo and Scrubber, known as Brookshot. You know, they sell some wonderful Bahamian authentic food. I talk about awesome steamed fish, you know, crock conch, steamed conch, you know, the works, reasonable price. And if you're looking to get out of the heat and want to chill out for 2 or 3 hours, you know, go on the beach, they are definitely the spot you need to check out. Okay, go ahead. We're going to take this last call. Big shout out to Cardo, Fish Fry, Drifters owners, and my boy, Big Brookshot, Scrubber.
Screwed.
Go ahead, sir.
I don't want to say too much in this conversation. You know, Chilito.
Chilean Mason?
Right?
Chilean Mason?
Yeah, you know his case, right?
Yes, sir.
You believe he really do it? Oh. Well, what do you think?
Well, I can't, you know, it's still before the courts, but, you know, I can't really comment.
Yeah, but ain't nobody know what we really talking
about.
Yeah,
I know, yeah, you know, I'll put it in order that, but if
what? But I don't know what's your two thing, because he was a street man.
Yeah.
And he ride the area.
Yeah.
Me and him used to work together, that's why.
Yeah, I know.
I wanted to ask your opinion.
Yeah, I know. You know, Chili is a tough and rough guy, you know, and I can't say, they've been involved with so many, you know, so I can't say if, you know, just a difficult. Sorry, I can't really say. But go ahead.
You believe he can be found guilty or not guilty? You believe he can beat the case?
He might.
Let me ask you what you think.
He might beat it.
Because you remember the witness died, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so, okay, I want to talk a little while.
Yeah,
you know you're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, I know, right? I understand.
Okay.
Thank you very much for calling. Go ahead, you're on Inside the Inner City on Guardian Radio. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, what's going on, Squishy?
Hey, what happened, man? You been missing it. What happened, man?
Yeah, right here, man. You know it go, man. You know, your boy who called before that one, you know, we need people like that
inside
the city. He's very enlightened.
Yeah.
Not frightened, right? But, you know, at our age, right, Squishy?
Hey.
You know, the police officers should really do history. Like, you know, like, we would know, I mean, you know, like, they said, right now, like I guess, we in Monroe is seeing some innovations, right? Like the parole system, et cetera, et cetera. It's supposed to distinguish between violent offenders and non-violent offenders, right? You know, sometimes when the police come, they come with these big guns drawn, people have children in the homes, and they really seem so arrogant and so full of themselves, right? So I saw somebody send something about that thing. It was on the court TV thingy.
Which one are you talking about?
The one with the young lady who's punching.
Yeah, with the punch. I need the Tribune.
Yeah, but I mean, it's the new court case thing with the lady who was on Guardian, right? I think that's how it appeared. I think they have a new... I don't know if that's how it was revealed.
Okay.
But some text was there. I mean, it involves so much different things, but I can't draw any conclusions. But the thing is, I was appalled just because, I mean, you know, it's unbelievable.
To see her with a black eye?
And if something like that happened, the officer is a scumbag because... You can't expect to do. You know, the thing is, something has to be done. You know, especially in the Bahamas, when officers and inspector or sergeant and up.
Yeah.
It seems to me as if nothing could happen to them, Scoogey. And this is not we shouldn't be in a country where, you know, they don't use the police against us during the scamdemic, right?
Mm-hmm. What do you call it? What do you mean?
The
scamdemic.
But I'm hoping that the government wouldn't come up with this, scientific dictatorial constructs from the big neighbors to the north about lockdowns and BS again, you know, because, you know, they'll have to lock me up mm-hmm. because I just, my rights supposed to be inalienable, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can't allow them to do that. You see how the police officers acted during the pandemic, right?
Yeah.
They love the stuporized power.
Yeah.
And so the gentleman said it all when he called and talked about it.
Yeah, he did very well.
Yeah, they feel like there's the commissioner of police when they graduated. You know why? Because they have been allowed to do that school.
They have inherited a system.
Yes, and they are good. And school, and I'll share this with you, you know. I be in the school. And I know some guys who be in the school with my brothers and other mm-hmm. people. And I know their mental capacity, right? And for some people who I know who didn't pass the test,
mm-hmm.
I don't think you have a lot of police officers who didn't pass the test. And I mean, mm-hmm. I hate to say that, but this is what I feel. That's just what I feel. I feel as if some of them, that's true, political affiliation, whatever. Some of them are on the
position.
They didn't qualify,
position.
And they just,
yes.
they might have slipped the list just below the grade yes. or whatever, and then they just missed the so and so.
But they still supposed to be in training.
That's the way I see because
they supposed to still be in training. Navy SEALs and the U.S. Army never stop training. So officers, even though if they fail, and like, I understand you saying that because they fail.
But it happens. This is a small
yeah,
community.
Yeah.
Because you think everyone who won the fourth passed the fourth?
No.
The
no.
All right,
no,
then. That's the same.
No,
accept that. That's
no.
all. Because you can see it. But what I'm saying is the incident that you were saying, you said with the young lady, it started off with the police officer
mm-hmm.
coming on to the young lady.
Mm-hmm.
And all right. Boy, you know me, just my boy. I had my little thing up in Waukesha one time ago, right? Well, and she, you know, she's the walk out to see me, like, so I just come to in the vehicle and she wearing these little things from dance. So when I look, she just lock up at night, so she tell me what happened. Police officer passed and he say something and she ain't responding or whatever. And she have nothing. I mean, she got
you have
locking her up and carrying her
over the song, eh?
To the Quaco right. police station. I had to go there and come and get her because she was released, but she was showing me the whole run now. But I've seen it even with my niece.
Yeah.
My niece little,
you got to speed up a kind
my
of
niece
say.
Little yellow, right? And so they be she walking one night to the corner coming home and the car, they slowing down. They ain't really said they slowing down looking at you like, you know what I mean? So you can't, I mean, I know they like women, but they should really know how to be professional. But that gentleman who disclosed that story to you, that is the height of arsenality.
Yeah.
These people, I mean, Stuzy, man, like you say, training, but something like that, he should have reported that. So we supposed to have, how can we say that we are sincere with having a police force that works for a citizen when citizens are not allowed to report nefarious activity or bad behavior. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Come on, man. You're just supposed to accept that as a citizen?
No, we can't. We can't
no
more.
The arrogance in which they operate.
No.
But so, you know, as far as they're concerned, and, you know, the thing is that they highlighted with this CNU, we had something on the day. So what you got to realize is the law has a way of disenfranchising the poor.
Yes.
So what I'm saying is that if according to, you know, if you don't have the money to pursue legal action, then you know what that simply mm-hmm. means, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and so you still allow people to go to court without lawyers, without legal
and they even say, you have a public defenders, but people don't even know what that is.
Rights. When many people, how many more incidents like this do you think happened that happened to this young lady?
It's happened.
And I'm very vexed of the fact that you don't hear anything about the human rights
mm-hmm.
and the woman advocate groups, or advocacy groups. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This is a young lady. And they would, you know, I mean, I've never hit, I mean, come on, man. But the officer really feels as if nothing should happen to him. Another thing for concern is,
you got to, how you cause Clement want
to
play one song?
Yeah, I just want to get to say, the situation
yeah,
with Dan Knowledge the other day, in Dan Knowledge Estates.
Yeah, talk real quick.
Them, right? They were saying, don't shoot, children are in the house, right?
Yeah.
And then you have a testimony from a 10-year-old son was wiped under the, just ignored.
Yeah.
But yet still, the officer's words were gospel. You see gunshots from the top of the door to the balcony.
That's what I was talking about a little earlier.
God help us all, because, but some of them is professionals, you know. Some of them, I'm telling you, some of them aren't. Thank God for them, you know. But some of them, quasi handcuffed, brutalized, doing it. I mean, you know, back in the days, they would you be handcuffed, right, Scoozy?
Yeah.
You can't harm nobody.
Yeah.
But they won't beat you while you're handcuffed. You think that's right, Scoozy?
No, man, it ain't right. That's what's going on in the station.
Ain't nothing but they're doing right, then. That's what they're saying. And yes, but in the future,
mm.
with the lockstep, they can use the police force against us, man.
Yeah.
And the police force can be enslaving them own selves because that's how ignorant some of them are.
Yeah,
they have
you.
No idea what the global agenda
yeah.
is. They are puppets in the global agenda. That's all they can say, man. Give thanks. But
thank
remember, Scoozy, then they lay down on their dead bed, they get answered to God, too, you know.
Yeah, man.
Give thanks.
Respect. Okay, Kermit, if you could. Huh? You're in 20. Okay. All right. We're just getting ready. And we just want to say this, you know, we have nothing against the Royal Bahamas Police Force. I have nothing against the church. I have nothing against politicians. I have it. I have a problem with the system. The system that we inherit, we as individuals who inherit the system from the British, we get this position and then we believe we are so powerful. Yes, you are powerful. You have the power to change the lives, take away poverty, make the children happy to be living in these communities. You have the power to do that, but you know what you use the power for? You use the power to oppress us. You understand? That's why the country the way it is now. You know, we would like for it to improve, and that's why we're having this conversation, you know, so that we can improve the working condition between the police and the citizens. We all behemoths living in this country. Because you put on a red and black, that means you're going to abuse somebody who is an innocent citizen because you have the power to. You know, it doesn't work like that. It might be working like that for you and the organization, but you're creating enemies amongst the citizens in the country. And that's where the hate come in. Man, we could stop community policing. CID should be the last resort in the community where we use force like that. So if we have a person in the community who's rogue, like Mr. Thompson State, you know, who dumb garbage, who sells drugs, but he sells drugs to cause violence. There are a lot of people who sell drugs just to make an honest living, selling nickel and bags because they don't have nothing else to do. And they're not no problem to society, but they're selling something that is illegal. Then you have some who sell drugs and they're in the gun foo and a bunch of foo-foo. Instead of them trying to make money, they want to make money and cause chaos and be involved in gang activities. No, that's not what selling drugs is all about. Drugs is selling drugs. If you are on the field, it's about staying free, helping your community residents, people fix houses in the community. Give some, if there's a community leader in the area who does stuff in the community, you could give the little money you're making. Buy some Gatorade and help with some tournaments or help paint and fix a house. That's what it's all about. And protect the community and help the elderly, you know. But they said who arc and road and stuff. That's what you use CID for. So we have the community police and you get the information. And if you don't want to listen, you won't cause confusion and cause people to lose their lives in the community. Then the last resort is when the community turns to the community policing who and then talk to you once or twice and you don't want to listen, then they turn it on to CID and that's the end of you. Okay? And simple as that. But all in all, we are like from improvements with the attitude towards the citizen in this country, especially against the female. You ready? And this is a song we are playing that Maestro, who plays the opening song, and this is a song that he said to the police. And this is their response, like, to this young lady. Go ahead. Hey, still ain't come up here. It ain't come up here. We're trying to get the music playing. We're going to have a few more minutes. It's a very good song, you know. It talks about the beliefs. Yeah, it goes. Maestro.
Maestro Medina. Send them off the side. Send them off to search me. And arrest me, come like them bubbling boy one hug and caress me. I'm Mr. Officer, what's the story? I'm say shot a boy before, wanna be sorry. So them search me and search violently. In the middle of the night, them come so silently. I'm Mr. Officer, who give the authority. If I come kicking that me door, now hello. Is it me you're searching for? Hello, I can't take this anymore. Hello, is it me you're looking for? Hello, why are you digging up my floor? Instead of carry me
down at the station. So they want to ask me some more information. Him said, son, are you Haitian or Jamaican? I said, no, officer, I'm an African. He said, I see your ass. The white key at your box, make it talk fast. Before the morning like me know you're not lost. We spotted them gonna beat your little ass. Now, hello, is it me you're searching for? Hello, I can't take this anymore. Hello, is it me you're looking for? Hello, why are you digging up my floor? I feel my eyes, them start lift. Me hear new voices, so me know them a change shift. Said them sliding up head to make my nose stiff. And when me look up on the plate, I miss the egg and grits. And me say, no, I fist, I'm gonna eat this. I'm on a real restaurant, me just a dog this. Him said, son, what's your name? And I said, my song. He said, I heard your song, recession on the radio. Me say, yeah, no, I fist, and they make a mistake. Me not gonna sell the marriage, and me only intake. Last night, you come in on me house and shake like earthquake. True, them know me a Rastaman. Now, the search of a country born.
Special thanks to each and every one of you listening to the show tonight. And this is my good friend Maestro. He is a very, very talented entertainer, and he is singing things that affect us here in the community. And you listen to the beginning of your Bantan, and I represent Bantan. That's his song that he sings about the condition of when you're trying to talk to the police and they're using and abusing their power. And that's what the callers are talking about, our citizens. They use and abuse their power. Start a day. When Peter and I got to serve a warrant, I watched the police inspector was given a subpoena, and he stood in front of Peter Knight Guard place from around 9 o'clock till around 3 o'clock, along with Officer Nathan and a Peter Knight Guard place. But we have police officers who go in the community without search warrant, and they kick down doors, like the song is saying, and they brutalize the residents without search warrant. Lock them up for no particular reason. You understand? And that's a no-no. You couldn't do it to Peter Knight Guard. Why you want to do it to your own people, your brothers and sisters? And that's why we want improvement. Okay, thank you very much. And we see you next week. See you on Radio 96.9 FM. Maestro.
La, 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 la. La, 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 la.